The third chapter of 1 John and the latter part of verse 8, the latter part of the 8th verse of the third chapter of John, of 1 John. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. In this verse, we have set out the destructive mission of the Son of God. There are two parts to Christ's mission. There is the destructive part and the constructive part. Jesus Christ came to destroy. That's destruction. He came to build. And praise God, He's building His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's construction. And here, this verse is dealing with the destructive mission of the Son of God. There are three things in this text that I want to discourse upon this morning. First of all, there's the revelation of the purpose. For this purpose, the revelation of the purpose. No one knows what Jesus Christ came to do except it be revealed to him. You remember that Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. The natural man doesn't understand and can never understand the mission of the Son of God. Mr. Callahan commenced talking to me the other day, and he said, you know, Paisley, we're all the children of God. Whether you be Roman Catholics or Protestants or Jews or Hindus. And I said to him, I said, I want to interrupt you. He says, don't you dare interrupt me. I said, I'll be interrupting you when you say anything contrary to the Bible or to my Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I said, you, sir, are a child of wrath, even as others, except you're born again of the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't matter whether a man's a Protestant or a Romanist, if he's not born again of the Spirit of God, he's not a child of God. And then he said, well, I couldn't debate you theologically, you would outflank me. I certainly would outflank a man who's a natural man and doesn't understand the Scriptures. The revelation of the purpose. And except a man is a spiritual man and has been born again with a spiritual birth and is walking in a spiritual pathway, he can never understand the destructive mission of the Son of God. And when a preacher denounces sin, and sin needs to be denounced. And when a preacher denounces treachery, and treachery needs to be denounced. And when a preacher stands up for righteousness, and righteousness needs to be stood up for, then the natural man will label him as a preacher of hate. He'll call him a politician. He'll call him every other name to slander him. But the servant of God will go on with the work. Amen. Yes, the revelation of the purpose. I'll be coming back to it in a moment or two. That's not at all. That's only a little, by the way. Then secondly, you have the manifestation in this verse of the person. Hallelujah. Christianity is Christ, and Christ is Christianity. And in the manifestation of Christ's person, you have this seed of the destruction of every evil thing. The day that Jesus appeared on this earth, the devil was finished. Hallelujah, for all time. You know, this world is the dominion of the devil. His principality is in the air. His principality is on this planet. You turn over to the last chapter of 1 John. It says the whole world, verse 19 of John, 1 John 5, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The word in the original is the whole world lieth in the lap of that wicked one. So the world is in the devil's lap. This is his principality, and this is his sovereignty. But I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ came and he appeared on this earth. And when he appeared on this earth, he condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ was manifest. We'll come back to that one too. And then, thank God, we not only have the revelation of the purpose, and we not only have the manifestation of the person, but praise God, in this verse, we have the demonstration of the power to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God, on yonder cross, my Savior destroyed him that had the power of death, that is to say the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise God, there's mighty power in the cross. The great generation center of power is the cross of Christ. And let me tell you, the Church of Christ is not going to be defeated. There's not a plan of popery. There's not a plan of the ecumenical movement. There's not a plan of communism. There's not a plot begotten of the devil. And there's not a conspiracy spat through the gratings of the pit that will ever conquer the Church of Jesus Christ. For God in the midst of her doth dwell. Nothing shall her remove. The Lord to her a helper will. And that right early proved. So there's no need to be discouraged this morning. Because the greater the battle, the mightier the victory. And the greater the darkness, the brighter the sunshine. And the darker the cloud, the more beautiful the silver lining. Hallelujah, God is on the throne. Yes, if you hadn't the Lord today, you'd be distressed. If I wasn't a Christian today and was just an Ulster loyalist, I would be in the dust, friend. For the dark 11th hour hath come, and it has seen us betrayed by in the house of our friends. But praise God, God's in heaven. So let's have a look at these three. You've got the bones now. I'm going to put a bit of flesh on them. And I trust a bit of nerves and muscle in them to give them a bit of a punch so that they'll get home to your heart. Number one, the revelation of the purpose. Let me say again, we can only understand God's purpose as it is revealed to us in the Word of God. And we need to be man and woman more and more of this book. And I believe that this trouble and this distress and this trial is pushing us nearer and nearer to God's precious Word. I always read a chapter, if I can, of Proverbs every day. I always read it through because, as you know, Proverbs is a good book to read through because there's just the 31 chapters in it, one for every day of the month. And so on the first day, I read the first chapter, and the second day, the second chapter. And I try always, no matter what other parts of Scripture I read, always to read one chapter in Proverbs. When I was going to see Mr. Callahan, it was the 28th day. And if you have Proverbs 28 in your hand, my God gave me a verse that day. I went in rejoicing. My wife and I sat out in the car and had a time of prayer, and we read the 28th chapter of Proverbs together. And verse 2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. What does that mean? That means that rulership is divided when there's transgression. That's what's happened here in Ulster. My, we have the Humes and the Currys and the Fitz and the Devlins. And we have revolution here and riots there and principalities here and principalities there. For the transgressions of the land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. You know what's going to save Ulster? Man of understanding and knowledge. They're the people's going to save this land. And the only understanding and knowledge that can save Ulster is the revelation of the divine purpose of God in it all. God has a purpose in this trouble. God hasn't taken his hand of the helm. God controls the storms as well as the ship. He controls the clouds and winds as well as the tempests of the deep. And our God is on the throne. For this purpose, God has got a purpose, my friend. God's working according to plan. The God I believe in is a sovereign God. No man can outplot him. No man can outpurpose him. No man can outplan him. God's work still goes on. God's purpose still goes on. God's great plan is still a master plan over it all. God uses even the devil for his purposes. He even uses the wrath of man, and he caused the wrath of man to praise him. And the remainder of that wrath he will restrain. Oh, may God help us to see the revelation of the purpose today. You'll find it in the book. And if you're a man or woman of this book, even though the days are like the midnight of hell itself, praise God, you'll sing in the storm and shout in the fiercest conflict and anticipate the future. For Jesus is coming again. Saints of God, our hope is not on earth, our hope is in heaven. We're just passing through here. And praise God, we're going to give the devil and the Pope a rough time as we're on our way to heaven. We're not going to pull down the flags like some people and surrender to the enemies of the pit. We're going to fight. And if I'm going to fall in this battle, let me fall with a sword in my hand. If I'm going to fall in this battle, let not be found like those that go to sleep on the couches in Zion. Let me be in the front line for God. Let me be rejoicing in the revelation of the purpose. What a purpose it is. Ah, he planned it long ago. You know, salvation didn't happen when Jesus Christ was manifested. Salvation didn't happen at the cross. Salvation didn't happen when you were saved, initially or originally. Friend, salvation happened away back in eternity. Let's get this into our hearts this morning. Long before time began, I was part of the plan. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, God loved us with everlasting love. And his great purpose was like a mountain stream that found its origin in the heart of God and came flowing over the balustrade of heaven and came down to this earth. And thank God we touched the stream, hallelujah, and we washed our robes. And today there's a current urging us forward, upward, homeward, heavenward, Godward this morning. Someday we're going to arrive, hallelujah. Be a great day when the saints go marching. My, even the brethren and the Baptists will be shouting that day. Some of them don't shout much today, but we'll have them shouting that day. That's going to be a great day when the saints go marching in. Friend, it's an eternal purpose. You know what made the martyrs die? They believed in a sovereign God. That's what made them die. You need to get back to that great truth, the revelation of the purpose. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Happy the man that has seen the everlasting covenant of God.
Remember the day God showed it to you, my brother, that He loved you? And even when you were going to hell, He preserved you. Remember when you were drunk and you were making a beast of yourself in the club and you were playing in the card school and you were a poor, miserable, scarlet sinner? God preserved you when your feet made haste to hell. And you would have been damned but for the purpose of God. That's the gospel I believe in, friend. Revelation of the purpose. Let's look at the manifestation of the person. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. You know, in that verse you have the eternity and deity of God, of Christ. Because before He was manifested, He must have been. This manifestation, my friend, is the manifestation of His majestic glory, veiled in flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God, over 1900 years ago. By the vehicle of the virgin birth, God's Son was manifest in flesh. You know what happened? He became available for you and me. You know what John says? Look at the first chapter of this epistle. He says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That's the way you're saved, you know. The first thing you do, you hear. Remember the day you heard about Jesus? Really heard. Oh, you'd sat in hundreds of gospel meetings before that, but you never really heard. But one day, glorious day, happy day, you heard about Jesus. By the word, get into your heart. You know what happened after you heard? Look at it again. Praise God, you saw. Yeah. Great day when you saw. My, I'm happy I can look back to a second pew in a church in Ballymena where I knelt down and I saw, hallelujah, I saw. I saw the Christ. I saw the plan. I saw the blood. And I not only saw, but praise God, I looked upon. Yes. And my, when you see Jesus, you want to look at Him. You don't just see Him and then turn your eyes away. Praise God, I saw Him that day. I've been looking at Him ever since. And praise God, He's getting sweeter and more beautiful to my eyes every day of the week, every hour of every day. Praise the Lord. Nothing changes about Jesus. He gets more glorious to Him. We love Him more today, don't we, than we ever loved Him before. We want to be more like Him today than we ever were like Him before. Look, and our hands have handled. That's the way you're saved. You just take Him. Great day when you take Jesus, isn't it? My, that's the day when you put your arms around Him and say, I am His and He is mine forever and forever. What a day was that. My friend, when Jesus Christ became manifest in the flesh, He became available to you and me. He's bone of our bone. He's flesh of our flesh. Standing somewhere in life's shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Why? Because He's walked the path of life before us. Study the life of the Savior, and you'll see He has had all the circumstances you have and many more. He was tempted in all points. Hallelujah. He knows your temptation. He knows your discouragements. He knows your perplexities. He knows your headaches. He knows your heartaches. He knows all about you. Praise God, He's able to solve every problem, lift every load, heal every sickness. He's able, my friend, to do everything for you that you need. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He's our Savior. He was manifest
He's the manifested Son. And then in this verse, we have, praise God, the demonstration of His power, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Why, I'm glad that Jesus Christ came to destroy the devil. To listen to these old ecumenists, you'd think that Jesus came to convert the devil. You'd think that Jesus came on a great evangelistic campaign to get the devil converted. Don't you believe it, friend? Jesus came to destroy the devil. You know, one of the works of the devil in this province is the ecumenical movement. Make you no mistake about it. That movement wasn't begotten in heaven, friend. It's begotten in the pit. Came from hell, and it's going to hell. Yeah. And do you see all the ecumenical men all writing obituary notices to John E. Sayers? It's very interesting, isn't it? Harry Geller said he was a man of God, a gift of heaven to this generation. Wonderful, isn't it? If ever a man set himself against God's people in the province of Ulster, John E. Sayers set himself against it. If ever a paper used its power to become the master discriminator against Protestants, the Belfast Telegraph, under the editorialship of John E. Sayers, did just that. Yeah. We're sitting in this hall today worshiping God because John E. Sayers' plans came to naught. Our church was growing. We enlarged it. It became too small. We applied to have the Ulster Hall for our services. And John E. Sayers said in his office, he said, I'll see that Paisley never gets that hall. I'll close the door. And so he got out and he got £5,000 gathered from the advertisers of the Belfast Telegraph. And he got Sir Cecil McKee to stand up in the city council and offer the city council £5,000 of a bribe to close us out of this, the ratepayers hall. Then he says he doesn't believe in discrimination. He was the greatest practicer of discrimination that we could have had. Yes. Terrible thing. And then, when we got the hall, and thank God we did get it, even Councillor Philip Smiles, who no more agrees with me than night agrees with day, he got up and said, how could the Belfast Council take a bribe? How could they do it? Even men that don't agree with their stand saw the hypocrisy of the whole thing. And this man of God, in the estimation of Eric Gallagher, he wrote an editorial. Yes, a pope head indeed. He wrote an editorial and he denounced the modern Mussolini, that's what he called me, getting the Ulster Hall. And then he refused our church adverts. And he said, as long as Paisley's in the Ulster Hall, I'll break him. He'll not be able to advertise his meetings. Nobody will know where he's preaching. Well, praise God, friend, that was the best thing he ever did. It saved this church £800 a year. That's what it did. That's the best thing it ever did. And it spurred us on to start the Protestant Telegraph. And it did, that was the best thing he ever did, friend. And Mr. Sayers has gone to meet God today. The God of Ian Paisley, whom he maligned and lied upon. The God of the Protestants who believe in the Bible, he's gone to meet him. And friend, when he stands at the bar of God, all his Freemasonry and all his squaring of people will come to naught. And I know on good assurance the way he used every organization he was a member of to hinder me in my work, and he's gone. And Eric Gallagher says he's a man of God. And Eric Gallagher was standing, his wife was standing in a place of business. This is the lovey-dovey of the ecumenical movement. And you know what she said? She said, that was a terrible thing those Baptists did in the Raven Hill Road to sell that site
to the Protestants. It was a terrible thing that they did, to sell a site to the Protestants. And you know who she was speaking to? She was speaking to the man that sold the site. And he just turned around and he said, "That's me, I sold it." And then, you know what she said? Oh, she says, "Eric has a great admiration for Mr. Pate." Did you ever hear such a lie? Did you ever hear such a lie, my friend? To destroy the works of the devil. I want to say on this platform today that the mills of God grind small, and they grind exceeding small. And we are not infallible, and we know our sins as a church, and I as a preacher more, and my imperfections more than anybody else. But I know, friend, that God has raised up this little church for such a time as this. And friend, to put your hand in God's anointed people is a dangerous thing. Oh, there's men have done it. Yes. And the Bible says also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And we have had men in the very seat of authority in this church who have risen up against us. But they're forgotten today. Yeah. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. Let me tell you something. Many years ago, after a night of prayer and a day of prayer, in my own church, God did something in my life. Something that transformed my ministry. Something that changed my preaching and gave power and strength to the fire within my soul. And the first Sunday morning, after that, just a little after, I preached in this text. And I want to tell you something. There was a man in the meeting and he was in great difficulty. He had come under the rod of Satan. He was at wit's end corner. And that day God spoke to his heart that the works of the devil were destroyed by Jesus. And he told me, he said, "He and I put out my hands, and I put my hands on that promise." And he said, the next day God solved all my problems. And he said, he brought me again into the daylight of his grace and into the joy of his pardon and peace. Friend, the works of the devil are destroyed. And I can face the enemy this morning, confident that there's a demonstration of God's power for me. And we're going to win. And we're going to be more than conquerors. And we're going to enter our church in spite of IRA plots to burn it. In spite of that house down the Ravenhill Road that we heard about, where a group of IRA men met the other night to prepare their petrol bombs to hurl them through our windows. Praise God, God's on the throne. It's wonderful how, my friend, you overhear the conversations of the enemy. And a friend of mine was on the telephone and the lines were crossed and he heard the whole story. And I was able to get to the police and tell them everything. The number of the house in the Ravenhill Road where the men were to meet, and the whole story and the plans of the devil were destroyed. Yes. My God's with us. We don't need any secret service when God's with you. You don't need anything. You just need the Lord. And we have the Lord with us. We've got his presence. We've had his power. And still there's more to follow. A man came to me today and said, the other day, he said, "What's the answer to it all?" I said, "The answer to all is the great revival God's going to send us. He's going to send. We're going to have revival. You say a revival in this riot? Hallelujah, that'll suit as well. Lord, send it. We're ready. We have thrown away the umbrellas of unbelief. We're under the water spouts of God this morning. May the blessing of God come and the showers of blessing refresh our soul. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your help. And we pray now that the blessing of God will be upon us for Jesus' sake. Amen.